serves Crested Butte and Gunnison.
Ski towns?
Crested Butte is a ski town, Gunnison's a college town.
Small populations?
Yeah, I mean, I think total population is 7,000.
For both? Wow, that is tiny.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why I think that, like, I think Tom's being really conservative with budgets and.
And what do you mean?
Well, I think, I've talked to him about it just as far as, like, getting a paid staff and getting funding from the community.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that live, I mean, just through Hudson and Catskill alone.
You think that he's, this station will be able to gather more interest and more money
mm-hmm.
for
oh, no.
communities?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to hear.
But they're so different, it's hard for me to make a lot of comparisons or generalize about KVUT too much because the communities, I mean, that's the essence of community radio, is community. It's just geographically so different, and media-wise, there's no other radio station. There's like KJOY, it's a Christian radio station, and I think one other that you can get, that's it. So there's very little media choices.
Why out west does it seem like radio stations have K call letters and not here W?
It's west of the Mississippi, that's the rules.
Oh, okay.
You start with K, yeah. And like other countries have different, like all the Canada ones are C. There's a whole international code.
I did not know that.
That's one of the, Simpsons clues that Springfield can't be in Kentucky because the radio station is KBBL.
But it can be in Illinois.
I think Illinois still is all W's. Yeah.
Isn't Illinois
on the MCA? No, Illinois is the border.
Yeah, but they're on the other side of the Mississippi.
No, that's the border. Illinois is on this side. Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah. Illinois is on this side.
Drove through Illinois.
Iowa's
on the other side of Illinois. You go through Quad Cities.
Yeah, Missouri's on the other side, too.
Okay, so we're still early.
How old is Cuba?
86, I think.
And they do marathons to gain most of their support?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they have their pledge drive.
How are you begging for money, Tom? You're pretty good at it?
I'm going to have to learn.
I just called in one of the DJs. I stream them a lot. And one of the DJs was doing psychic readings over the phone for pledge if you pledged $40. It's really funny. She's kind of a kook, like the town kook, so. We got about, the pledge drives were 36,000. I think the total operating budget was, what did I write to you? Total operating.
What did you say their pledge drives get?
36,000? Twice a year, yeah.
We have a much bigger audience, so we're actually kind of hoping for like 65 or 70,000 per pledge drive.
Per drive.
I mean, that's just a guess.
Who's going to be like your program director?
Probably me. Right now, that's my kind of role, but I think we're talking about the staff kind of sharing many different roles and, like, you know,
like
maybe have a focus, but we all are.
The model that I know, like WMNF and WBUI, there's a station director, program director, newsroom director,
development director,
outreach,
all those different things, volunteer coordinator,
that's Laura Taylor now.
I thought she was development director. I've been emailing her for development questions.
Maybe you're right.
I think she's development director,
and that means developing the station out, you know, into the community?
No, it means getting the grants and running the pledge drive and all the development of funds.
Yeah, you know Laura Taylor from way back, right?
Yeah. I know her since probably when I started going out in Tampa. She was one of the people that was going out. Mm-hmm. She's like the same age that I am, too, so. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hey, Colin, how are you?
Good.
See you?
What's going on?
Yeah. Not too much. That's Aaron Roberts down there.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
And that's Kelly Benjamin over here.
Hey. Colin DeVries.
Hello, Jim.
I know you.
Jim. Colin.
Colin.
Colin DeVries.
Hey, you must be Tom.
Jim
Plank. Good to meet you, sir.
How you doing? What?
Kelly Benjamin.
Kelly Benjamin?
Aaron Roberts.
Good to meet you.
What did you say your name was?
Jim Plank.
Okay.
I can't sit next to you, Colin, because otherwise it's a conflict of interest.
We're not associated right now.
Right,
you're merely a civilian.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a civilian.
Yeah. So where are you guys coming from?
The Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
Yeah. Both of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Neither one of us are in any official capacity here. We're just
right. Understood.
Well, I was told to come here by Teresa, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
That's sort of
special,
right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Emelinks.
Emelinks.
Yeah, Emelinks.
Came this morning to the other...
Right. Okay, good.
Help yourself to chips,
yeah,
soda.
Yeah, chips and sodas.
Thank you. You're snacky.
Hey,
what
prepare for sure.
How did the morning meeting go?
It went great. I think we won't have quite as many people there here this afternoon as we did this morning.
Sure, yeah.
We had Danielle. How do you say Danielle's last name? Walsh? Or?
You know, I only wrote down her first name.
I've got her last name right now somewhere. She came. She is Bard College just got a license for a full power station, so she came to because they're kind of interested in the same sort of. And she just wanted to hear ideas. They just got their permit a few weeks ago, so she's early
cool.
on the process. And then, let's see, go around the room. It was Lynn Sloniker, who does the unmuffled blog, covers the Hudson school system. She goes to all the Board of Education meetings and pours all the information out about
it. I know that last name for some reason, yeah.
It's a really good blog. And who was sitting next to her was, who was on the couch next to her? Kelly, I guess you were. And then...
the economics guy.
Oh, yeah, yes. His name is, that's it. I hadn't met him before. William Schmidt, who does a lot of business reporting for, he's in Western Columbia County, or Eastern Columbia County, so he does business reporting in Great Barrington and Pittsfield.
Berkshire Eagle?
Mm-hmm. Probably. And he also does for some radio station. I don't remember what the name of the radio station was, but I think it was also in Massachusetts or in Connecticut.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it.
But he actually lives in Eastern Columbia County, so he was interested in doing some business reporting. And who else? Behind me was
Sam.
Andrew, mm-hmm. And then... Perry Teasdale from the Columbia paper.
Sure, I know Perry.
And then Sam Pratt, who used to write for a variety of New York magazines, and then he sort of led the anti-cement brigade.
Yeah, I remember that. They had a little office right next to a couple doors down from the Register Star. Yeah.
It was Friends of Hudson, is that
Yeah,
what it
Friends
is?
Of Hudson, something like that, yep.
Paul Smart, who's on our board and who writes for the Woodstock Times and edits the Phoenicia, what is the Phoenicia paper called?
Phoenicia Times?
And then, was there somebody else I'm forgetting? Or is that everybody? Wait, I have my list.
I think that was was everybody?
Lynn, Bill, Kelly, Andrew, me, Mary, Paul. Yep, that's everybody. And who's Elvis supposed to come tonight?
Yeah, I didn't RSVP or anything like that. I didn't know if
that's okay.
We're supposed to be doing that.
An RSVP this morning. Yeah. Machine, so.
You'll have to put the root beer back.
Oh, sorry. Here, I'll support it back in.
Oh, Dick May. We'll see if Dick May shows up tonight.
Oh, good.
I forgot the list too. I thought there were four people on the list.
Deborah Kaminsky was the other one.
That's
yeah.
That's right.
And I didn't actually remind her, and I probably should have. She emailed me back like a week or two ago, and we talked about it then, but I didn't remind her yesterday. Like I did, I think everyone else.
Did Andrew talk to you about any ideas of like working together with Hudson Quetzal newspapers or anything like that?
No, he didn't speak as an official.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he was like clear that he couldn't speak in those terms, and we would need to talk to Teresa and or if you're here tonight.
Because I proposed. We talked about it briefly, you and I, outside of a Catskill meeting one night. I proposed an idea to her and Roger, and Roger thought it was a good idea. It was Roger Coleman, our publisher. And I just wanted to bring those ideas here to see what your feedback was on that.
Okay, well, we may not have a full idea yet on that, and you probably don't have a full idea yet on the main reason we're having the meeting is because Aaron happens to be here, and Aaron previously ran a community radio station in Colorado where they set up a system with journalists. Basically, in your area, there were only two community papers that were both weeklies,
yeah.
One on each end of the valley, mm-hmm. that weren't competing too much. So they worked with both of the papers and ended up paying the reporters a little bit additional on top of what the newspapers were already paying them. And
to rework their stories for audio, basically.
Okay. To do audio versions of their stories, yeah.
Now, how, because my only, I don't know a lot about radio. I don't have any experience mm-hmm. in radio. So I don't know how involved it needs to be producing radio shows or anything like that.
Yeah, I think we should probably, just before, so we don't double talk this through,
yeah.
Wait till everybody gets here. Because
okay.
I think a lot of people are going to have that same question.
Sure.
Tell one more minute. We'll see if she's coming to us or...
It's just six now.
Oh,
so
right. Paul Smart is bringing a couple other people too. Like, that's who else is coming.
Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah, this is a lot of like we're going to talk about.
Tom, does online radio...
Like I said, I don't want to get too much into everything now, because I think a lot of it is going to be... But that's
also
exactly...
That's sort of how
sound
bites,
how I also video bites.
We can do video, but I can streaming too. Yeah, we can do what it takes to make this how much work.
For sure, yeah.
Exactly. That's
what we're going to do. We found our way in, which could be a drawback for us. For sure. Staff, they don't have a lot of time, they don't do a lot of radio production. So it would really be need to be developed and planned out. So I get a better idea of how possible it is. Kelly is my friend from Florida.
Hey, Hudson,
how are you doing?
Good, nice to see you. Sure.
As always, sir.
Oh, don't get up.
I have to.
Man sells books, I gotta stand.
Oh, you're Jane. You're Paul's friend.
Yes.
Paul.
Is Paul coming?
He is.
I don't know.
He is. Galen's supposed to be watching Milo.
Hi. How are you?
Nice
to see you. I'm Hudson Tobey.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
I met Milo the other day.
You met Paul.
Yes.
Working on all this stuff?
Or you're Jane.
He was playing with like comic book, like Fawn and Gibbons and Peter and I met to talk about the parade. And he was there and he was like asking me questions about like all the comic book characters in his little like Marvel book that he had. It was a pretty cute kid though.
What's this? Is this set up or was this the way you found it?
It was kind of the way we found it. We just added a table to it.
Okay.
You look like the ship's commander.
I know. The command and control. What, are these you're recording us or
recording and live streaming too? In case anybody that got invited couldn't make it, but or is at home tied to their computer. So
good, great. And is this an agenda?
It's a information sheet. Yeah. Did you guys hand those out to folks? Everybody.
Yeah. I guess I should. Oh, there's more. You might want the whole shebang.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
There you go.
Thank you.
We were saying we had a great meeting this morning. Like, lots of people showed up. Sam Pratt showed up, and
great.
Perry Teasdale showed up.
Wonderful.
And this new.
This was over in Hudson.
Yeah, the old Muddy Cup. William Schmick, this financial, economic kind of reporter who lives in Eastern Columbia County, was there. So totally new person that I didn't even know about. Lynn Sloniker, I don't know if you met her. She does this Unmuffled blog. It's really good about the Hudson school system.
Oh, really?
She goes to like all the Board of Education meetings and puts up every hiring and everybody's salary and like just all kinds of raw information.
Anybody from Register Star?
Andrew came, yeah.
Andrew, good.
Not as a representative.
Oh, as a freelancer?
Yes.
Okay.
Colin is a little more official tonight as the Hudson newspapers.
Okay, you're kind of covering both of
right.
them? Right. Do you write for them too? For Register?
Well, we share content sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I made a proposal to Roger and Teresa about how we could work together. I just showed it to her. Emily?
Aaron,
sorry.
It's all right. I just threw out like five different names.
Yeah.
For myself.
So, and she thought it was a good idea, and so she wanted me to come and try to get a sense of what you guys have planned and how we can maybe work together.
Maybe we should get started. It's about 10
this
after.
Might be Paul. I wouldn't take it, but I'm
going to need to leave at 7. I got to be up for the HTC board meeting by 7:30.
The other meeting kind of went an hour and a half, but we've all agreed that like the last half hour was...
It could have been quicker.
Yeah, I don't know.
The last half hour was a little
too about that much time.
We'll try to get done by 7.
Yeah.
A lot.
And Paul,
some of my ideas to vary off of journalism onto other stuff. That I just, I do a lot of different things on my own time to make it work.
And where?
And you have a radio background.
What happens?
Yeah, I worked out of Hudson, and after they bought the stations down in Poughkeepsie, I went down there too. But after a while, that drive got boring, having to be down in the Arlington side of Poughkeepsie by 4 o'clock in the morning, from the mountaintop. So after a while, I just said, that's not that drive. And went back to France. But I used to get there and do the whole thing, you know, where you survey what's out there, and, you know, package them up and have your copy ready. And the afternoon before, you've done your interviews on, you know, for your sound bites, for your tape ones. And 6 o'clock rolls along, and you're like, oh, and off and running.
So since you guys got to go, let's we'll get started, and Paul and whoever else shows up later will join us. We'll do this super quick since we are kind of introduced ourselves. But how we started the other one was hi. Yeah, GXC. We're just going to go around and introduce ourselves quickly, who we are and where we're from. I'll start, and I'm Tom from WGXC, who's working to start this new community radio station. And I have a journalism background. I used to be the music editor of the Alternative Weekly in Tampa, Florida, and then moved to New York City and like freelanced for the Times. I had a music column in the New York Post for a couple years in the mid-90s, and fact-checked for Gourmet and copy-edited for Manhattan File and all those, so I have all those different fact-checking, writing, copy-editing, a little bit of each. So, Colin, you want to?
Colin DeVries, reporter for the Daily Mail. Just kind of here representing Hudson Castle Newspapers and, you know, hoping that maybe we can work together somehow.
I'm Hudson Talbot. I'm on the board here at the Casco Community Center, so I'm sort of your host this evening, and also vice chair at the Thomas Cole National Historic Site, and I'm also on the board of WGXE. What's our official
radio
title? The Council.
Yeah,
the Radio Council.
But it's the board, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Erin Roberts, and I am interning with WGXC this summer. I'm a graduate student at University of Oregon, and I come from a long background in college and community radio. My most recent job, I was running a community station in Crested Butte, Colorado, that served Crested Butte and Gunnison. I'll talk a little bit about that a little later on, but much smaller community, but we had a pretty successful radio news paper partnership.
My name is Elizabeth Henry, and my first job was in magazines. I was assistant to Helen Burley Brown at Cosmopolitan, and worked at Random House after that as a copywriter, and then did a lot of freelance work for the Soho News and the Village Voice in Manhattan, and then moved up here with my, I was having children, and had four, and wrote for the Mountain Eagle, which at that time covered much more locally to us than it does now because of what happened with when the paper was bought. And I wrote a column on education, and I did a series on faith. Right, this was after the first Iraq War, and actually I was in Catskill and was very taken with a woman in a burqa, full cover, teaching preschoolers at the library, and I thought, this is so cool. And so that I interviewed her and some other Muslim women, and then it branched out into a series, and that was wonderful. And then produced and was on air talent for a radio program for a while. And then Clear Channel. So I just, you know, my children really, really did come first. My youngest now is 16, so it's, you know, they're big. But it was just not fun, and it wasn't, you know. So I haven't done anything since then except fiction writing and stuff like that. But I haven't had anything published really. I did some stuff with New York Writers Institute, but that's it.
What kind of programming would you envision getting involved with?
I don't really know. I think that I'm probably most useful seeing what you need. I have a really thorough understanding of the schools that are available in the area because I got my children out of public school for each child is really different for different reasons. And they've been to like They went to the Bruderhof School, they went to Emma Willard, they went to Christian Brothers Academy, Coleman in Ulster County. So I know those places. But I don't know really if, because I'm an older mother, you know, like I'm really, I was old when I had him, I'm really old now. Like I don't know, whatever, you know, like however I could be useful to you, I don't really feel, I don't have a mission, per se. But, and you're all young, and so. Are you from, where are you from originally? So you're here, you're in the United States.
It's different.
I like it though.
Yeah. One more in.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
We're just introducing ourselves, so you can't just
keep moving along here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Jane Tolby, and while you're talking, I'm trying to remember what I've done, but I have never worked in radio before. I used to write. Feature articles for something called the Mahomet Citizen, which was in near Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. And I've mainly written in academic circles. I teach Italian. And I also write a lot of progressive articles about Israel and Palestine, and also women in black, and Nigeria, where I served as a Peace Corps volunteer years ago. And I'm interested in helping to develop progressive radio, too. And I've taught poetry in the schools as a poet in residence. And I also write fiction. So there's probably more. And old is good.
All right, do you want to introduce yourself? Do we want to get too far out of our circle? Or?
Oh, I'll be very brief. I'm Melanie Wakasovic. I'm a freelance reporter. I do some work with the Daily Mail and with the B Green and the local courier. Okay. I'll be writing a story on this too while I'm at it.
And then,
don't quote me, please.
I don't want to be
see how it feels.
My own paper. And then Jim, I guess.
Okay, yeah, my name is Jim Plank. I've been doing local news in Greene County since 1986, and did about a year and a half or two on radio on the other side of the river and down at Poughkeepsie. Mostly why I'm here is not for the journalist aspect, but just to get a sense of what other types of cultural and community type things you're looking for. I do a lot of history, and I do nature, and I do, wide variety of interests, and I think some of them may lend themselves to your goal.
All right, Deborah?
Deborah,
Tamika,
Public Library.
Anybody used to write for newspapers and magazines right here, didn't you? And take photos?
Yeah, I used to work for Mr. Paul Smart, when he was the editor at the Mountain Eagle, and worked for a magazine in Los Angeles.
I introduced myself before, so Paul, you can...
Been working in newspapers around here for a few years. I'm currently editing two papers over in Ulster County and writing for a number of other ones. And here in Greene County, edited the Mountain Eagle for a period of time. I have played at trying to get a newspaper up and running to my desk, but this is a pesky thing called the money. That's all it's up.
And then I guess, Kelly, we skip you.
My name's Kelly Benjamin. I'm just an old friend of Tom's. I've been involved with community radio in Florida for many years. And I do freelance writing and correspondence for the local alternative weekly in Florida, in Tampa, Florida. And I'm considering a move up to this area. I started hearing about this community station. So, still debating that.
So, why don't I quickly give a little explanation of what the community radio station is going to try to do with the news, and then I want Eric. Aaron to give the main presentation, because Aaron was part of this Colorado community radio station where there were two community newspapers at either end of the valley, and she struck a deal with the two papers and ended up working with the two papers and paying the reporters at the newspapers extra on top of what they already got to produce audio versions of their stories and get some audio training at the same time and audio editing and those kind of things. So that's the reason we're having this meeting at this point in time. The radio station is moving forward to hopefully launch maybe by next summer. We're hoping that there'll be a kind of morning news magazine show and an afternoon news magazine show. It's not like, you know, all hard news all the time. There's going to be like songs played. There's going to be phone calls to, you know, perhaps some reporters in the room who have a story in the day's paper that everybody's talking about, or the mayor of the town who's involved in the story in the paper that everybody's talking about, or perhaps the performer who's playing at the Athens Cultural Center or the Hudson Opera House that night, previewing whatever they're going to be performing. So it's kind of a loose magazine kind of show that certainly, like, and on occasions like the ice storm, we'll have listeners call in, or the recent floods, we'll be taking a lot of phone calls with listeners calling in and reporting, like, this road is closed or that road is closed, that sort of thing. So the real possible involvement for local journalists is in these two kind of morning and afternoon magazine shows. There's also plenty of opportunities in the middle of the day to create shows perhaps about history or nature. Those are two subjects that have come up a lot with our board and with people in the community of what they want to hear on a community radio station. You know, other people have talked about health issues and the environment and agriculture and local writers, all sorts of things. There's all sorts of possibilities. So the possibilities exist for simple involvement from journalists of the day your story comes out and it's the big important story that everyone's talking about, calling you up or you calling us up and talking about it loosely for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, promoting the fact that there's a story and getting, you know, I'm sure getting people to go to the website or the news box, but also, you know, maybe finding out a little more or a different sort of take on the story than, because audio and print are two very different things. I guess you're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Complimentary.
I think you should also mention that there won't be an NPR hookup with the thing, so that national and state news and those elements will have to be worked out within the format, either through people phoning in with what they feel are the important issues coming on, or just figuring out a way of dealing with that in a lovely, responsible fashion.
Yes. So calling in and talking is one possible way. Aaron will talk about this model of the radio station coming up with funds to pay journalists additional, you know, money. That's another model. There's certainly a model of a show, like a roundtable show of local journalists or contributing to other shows. It's also... local journalists could make pre-recorded versions of what they're doing or other stories, and they could be plopped into the magazine shows or be part of some other show. So we're kind of, at this point, open to all ideas. You know, not to say that we're necessarily going to do them or want to do them or can do them, but we're open to all ideas to see what works best for the community, for the newspapers and the journalists involved, and for the radio station. So we want it to work out good for everyone. So why don't you explain what happened in Colorado and how that worked and the pluses and minuses and all that.
Okay. Well, KBUT was located in Crested Butte. It reached two main towns, Crested Butte and Gunnison. Total listening population of about 7,000, so it's a significantly smaller listening area than here. There were two independent newspapers at both ends of the valley that we partnered with in this project. And the projects came about. KBUT had a news budget of around, I think it was around $35,000 a year, and we were having trouble keeping a qualified journalist on staff to work full-time producing news on a full-time basis for that salary in that particular town. We just couldn't pay someone enough to stick around. And we realized that there was a lot of talent in the valley. The journalists in the valley were writing really great stories both ends of the valley, and we tried to think, well, how can we, you know, these journalists are already going to the town hall meetings, they're already covering events up and down the valley, how can we work with the journalists and harness their intellect and the work they're already doing? So basically we brought somebody in to train the journalists on how to convert their print stories to audio. We set the journalists up with workstations, with recording stations right at their own workspace at work. And we started off by paying $20 for a rip and read, which is a basic reworking of the print story into an audio version. And these stories were usually 3 to 5 minutes. It could be a conglomeration of three different news stories or just one that might take a little bit longer. And that was us doing the final editing. The journalists would FTP, put their audio on an FTP site. So that was the basic. When journalists started to include actualities, we gave them recording devices and trained them. They started to insert ambient sounds and live recordings, interviews. And we were still doing the editing. We paid them $30. And this is by no means a quote of what WGXC. This is also just a model that works specifically for KBUT. I'm not suggesting that this is the model for WGXC. So when the journalists finally upped their skills a little more and produced fully edited pieces with actualities in them, we paid a $40 rate for per story.
And actualities, or what is that more?
That's like the sound, the interviews, the dogs barking, you know, any kind of recorded, pre-recorded sound. We did a lot of cross-promotion. When the journalists would introduce their story, they would always say, this is Will Shoemaker from Gunnison Country Times, or if they were represented by some newspaper, that would always be included in the story. We had links on our website to all the partnering newspapers and organizations we worked with. They had links to us. We posted the audio on our website, but I don't think it would have been a problem if the newspapers would have posted it on their website too. So there was a lot of cross-promotion. The partnership seemed to work out really well. The newspapers were really happy. Because they really valued their journalists, but never really, there's a cap to how much you can pay your journalists. There's a cap to how much professional development you can offer journalists, so I think it was a great way for journalists to get paid more and want to stick around without the newspaper having to directly do it. And the journalists really did feel like they were learning some really critical skills, media skills, that they could expand. They were really thrilled to be working in radio. So it was successful. It's still ongoing. Some of the journalists have gone on to produce 30-minute feature-length pieces, more investigative work. It's just in its second year now, so the journalist skills have really improved.
Were some of the publishers initially skeptical about how this would work?
Yeah, we had one publisher that was all aboard and one that was skeptical, and most of the skepticism was based on, kind of a breaking news thing. They didn't want people to listen to the radio or if they heard the story on the radio, well, then they're not going to read the story. But we found out that, what we found was that the teaser on the radio really, it really is just a teaser. You can't put nearly as much information in an audio piece as you can in a print article. You can't get the graphs, the numbers. The audio pieces were more of an overview, and they tended to pique people's interest in the newspaper. On the other side, I do feel like listeners really liked to hear the interviews in people's own voices, so the inserted sound, the actualities were really appealing to people. and that's something that doesn't come across in newspaper. So I think that the cross promotion was good. The editors are totally, and publishers are totally on board now.
And you kind of worked out that if some of the papers were covering the same story, you worked out those?
Yeah, we delineated certain topics right in the beginning. Like there was a ski resort and one in the valley. Crested Butte News got to cover the ski resort news. A college in the other end of the valley that went to different writers. So we did some delineation right off the bat. And then they were both weekly papers, so Wednesday night the writers would send me their ideas for what they were. They recorded stories Thursday through Monday. They had 4 days, you know, their weekend to record. And then they would send them to me by Monday. We'd air them twice a day. So if there was any crossover after they sent me their stories on Wednesday, we would work out, you know, don't do that, do this one. So there really wasn't much conflict. I think only twice was there overlap.
And we've talked a little about that. It might be possible with our station, because there's many more journalists perhaps involved, that we even run two different versions of the same story, because they'll be maybe interviewing different people or have different approaches or takes on the story, so one could run it 4 and one could run it 5 and then repeat it the same story, you know, because some of these stories are going to repeat, you know, several times a day.
Did you do pieces that either your own direct assignments, and did you ever run pieces that didn't run in the local papers?
We did, but that was more the journalist's prerogative. Mostly because the rate that we were paying them really was to rework their story and edit the story. It wasn't for the work that went into. So it might have been that they worked a lot on an article and they did all the work to prepare, interview people, and then they just couldn't work it into an article or ran out of time, and they felt like they had enough information to do an audio piece on it. That happened a few times. If we knew of things that were happening, we certainly encouraged, especially events were really fun. There's a lot of parades and events. We certainly encouraged journalists to get out and do some interviews and do some special assignments like that. But I don't think we ever directed anyone to cover a certain event. If we really wanted a story, we would go produce it ourselves from our end.
And would you pick up your state stuff through a... And through a larger feed?
Yeah, we picked up our state news through a media coalition called Capital Coverage. Mm-hmm. So we ran that once a day. It was reports from the Colorado State Legislature. That was a project funded by a series of grants. But that it was a free service. Any radio station in Colorado could air.
And then you would tag this on to the end of an All Things Considered,
mm-hmm,
or within that,
yep,
broadcast?
Yep, we usually went national, state, local.
And then the one thing that you're not mentioning that we're fairly interested in is we're trying to round up anybody that regularly goes to town meetings to either record the town meetings in whole and put up the raw recording, or live web stream them. So sometimes, I don't know, all reporters record things or not, but you know, we're looking for local journalists, we're looking for the busybody that goes to every town meeting, we're looking for all kinds of people to fill that role. So that's something else that we're interested in, and it's also something else that could possibly help the newspapers or reporters, independent or not. Last night I went to the Cairo town meeting, and the Daily Mail did have a reporter, but if they didn't, or if there was somebody else didn't go to it, we have the recording up 2 hours later on our website, and anybody could write a story based on listening to the recording. One of the things we want to talk about too is maybe perhaps being in a loose affiliation to sponsor meet the candidates or debates between candidates. Paul, I think, sort of instigated this by saying that it seems like a lot of Greene County, oftentimes in Greene County, that not all the candidates will show up for these things, and so we thought perhaps if everybody was co-sponsoring it and part of it, it would be a little more push to get some of the more reluctant candidates to show up.
Yeah, if you're right about it happening and everybody who's been invited, it makes it harder for them to not show up. And it opens up the dialogue and the process.
And for these debates, we're not really like saying it has to be a structure or anything, but we would live web stream them and probably put them on the FM signal when our FM signal's up, and also record them and put the recording up immediately so that the public can have access to the recording, but also reporters who couldn't make the debate could write again a story based on what they heard on the recording.
And who's facilitating the debate?
I think the thing would be to do the League of Women Voters.
We'd have to work out, yeah. He's been talking about the League of Women Voters, but that's a detail that would be farther down the road.
They run the best mechanism. I've tried setting these up with the press asking questions and other ways, but the League has been doing it for years and probably pulling from either the Mid-Hudson Valley or the Columbia County or the Albany area. They come in and they send a timekeeper and somebody to field questions, usually a crew of three.
But that'd be right now we're just initiating that discussion, so we want to see if you all are interested in, making a loose affiliation, if you're interested in helping to create candidate debates, and then later on we can figure out if it is the League of Women Voters or how things would actually work out. Obviously we have to contact the League of Women Voters and see. It could be a debate or it could be a meet the candidate. The format we're not talking about yet. We're just talking about the idea at this point. But mostly we want to talk about the idea of working with the radio station. So I think we've introduced enough, and I'm sure everybody's got some questions, yes. Or not.
Well, we tried to start with League of Women Voters here, but it wasn't that successful. And then we dropped it for a while. But you see, I think that the radio station could promote something like that, would help a group like that to be functional.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Mid-Hudson Cable, too, and see if they are interested in putting the video on the public access channel, too. And with the force of the radio station and the local cable company and all the local newspapers and blogs and as writers, perhaps that would get enough to get the candidates to show up.
I think the cable's required to put up for each town.
There is some requirement. I'm still trying to get that, find out what the actual requirement is before I meet with them.
You're talking about public access?
Yeah.
And they've never really followed through. Who has it up?
Public access is actually supposed to be two channels, one for government education/education and the other one for public access. And most of the time, because of low usage and low requirements, the cable companies are able to merge those two into one unit. If you knocked on the right door or rang the right telephone, you will find that there is a public access channel on both sides, at least at the mountaintop, one from Time Warner and one from Mid-Hudson, because they have to have them, and they do have them. They're just very low profile, probably.
In Northern Dutchess County, where I'm from Rhinebeck, we have a Panda.
Yeah, there's a good, they do
really
a lot
good,
of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they're at every meeting with a volunteer who brings a camera and audio equipment, and they film every public meeting in Northern Dutchess County, Red Hook, Village of Red Hook, Village of Rhinebeck, Tivoli, I think, and the towns.
We talked about that a little this morning with the Bard Station, and the Bard Station is going to contact them
because
they're right in that area.
Yeah, their headquarters is in Tivoli, and they work with Bard students all the time with interning and all that kind of stuff. But they have a funding independent. They're an independent organization. They're funded by each municipality. They have their own budget line in each budget for each municipality. So that's a whole another.
Well, that's the other thing is that the cable franchise is supposed to pay a certain amount to a town to for the functioning of one of these, but often it gets turned down or not dealt with, seen as a hidden tax.
or the town doesn't want the, I can name a town in Greene County that Mid-Hudson has given a camera to, and they've put it in the closet and not really told anybody about it.
Well, this is also a Time Warner I'm talking about in Northern Dutchess County. I don't know anything about Mid-Hudson Cable. They could have their own parameters of how that works. I don't know, you know. That's something to look into for sure. Yeah.
Well, Colin, how does this fall into, I know that you've brought a proposal.
Yeah, what you talked about, how it could be sort of a teaser, which could also benefit the newspapers as well. That is sort of what I had in mind when I proposed this to Roger and Teresa, our publisher and executive editor. Basically, the idea would be, like Tom is saying, to have a morning talk show, sort of like a round table discussion with the reporter or editor that morning to talk about what's in the paper. And this could be either from the Register Star or the Daily Mail staff. And then in the afternoon, during rush hour, I kind of visioned like a brief news update. You know, with a reporter or editor coming in, sitting down for a half hour or however long, and maybe not even that long, just, you know, just to update on what's happening that day, or even meetings coming up
that
night.
Evening, yeah.
So you could let people know that are driving home about a meeting that's coming up that night, and then try to get them, and maybe what they're discussing that night, and try to get them involved and proactive and show up at the meeting and talk about, you know, an issue that they're concerned about. I mean, everyone's concerned about taxes, you know, going up, and everything that happens at your board meetings or involve your taxes going up. So, you know, it's important that people are more proactive in their local government. And that's sort of like what I sort of visioned. It's just the theory is good, but it's putting it into practice, which is, I don't know anything about that. I don't have any background in radio. And if it's feasible or not, really, I don't know if that can happen.
I think it's a great idea to give everybody a heads up on what's coming up on the agenda for every meeting. But were you talking about airing every town and village meeting?
On the FM, probably not.
Yeah.
On the we're trying to set up live streams with town meetings and with all local performances, as many, you know, we're setting up permanent situations at Spotty Dog, at Jason's Upstairs, probably at the Opera House, maybe at TSL, maybe at the Athens Cultural Center, perhaps here, so that whenever there's an event, we'll web stream it.
Uh-huh.
And then if we can, we'll put maybe some of it on the FM. Maybe we'll just go to it for like two songs. I think for town meetings, we would probably only put like the important vote about taxes that everybody's talking about, or the public comment part of the meeting. There's usually like 20 minutes when the public gets to speak. And that's often lively and interesting radio. So we wouldn't air entire town meetings very often at all.
Because that would bore
everybody.
That's what I mean.
Especially like
synopsis of the meeting.
It's the Germantown town meeting, and you live in Durham. You don't care at all.
How much can you archive?
We're going to archive as much as possible. But what we do is go to it for a second and say, okay, you want to listen to the whole thing?
Go
to the internet web stream that right now you can listen, or tomorrow morning it'll be up on the website and you can download it and listen to it at your, you know, whenever you want.
So it would suddenly have a function if you're dealing with both of these counties of doing, kind of activating the sunshine laws on all these meetings. If you can get somebody to open up a cell phone line back into the computer, you can basically capture every meeting. Mm-hmm. Or as Perry brought up this morning, you can... even if you don't show up at every one, if there's a chance of you showing up at every one, or that somebody there could be opening up a phone and web streaming it back into the archive, it changes the way the business is done.
But that's still a lot of logistics for bodies to work out, you know, to be recording.
Well, the sense is that we're setting up the evening show on the radio,
mm-hmm.
to be called the Creative Commons, and it's going to be DJs playing records. Or CDs or MP3s, whatever their format they're playing, whenever the station gets on the air. But they're going to be tasked to go to these live feeds that are mostly in the evening. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's when the town meetings are. That's when the performances are at Hudson Opera House or TSL or someplace like that. Part of their job, if you get that shift, is you're going to have to be seeing what the live feeds are from probably me, the program director, telling them tonight you're gonna, these are the three live streams, or you know they're gonna, the Monday night person is not gonna have as much to do because there's not as many things going on a Monday night, where Thursday night there's all kinds of. So it's gonna be pretty, it's all gonna be set up so that there's very little work to do, and just that person who's doing the show will have to click on and pick up a feed for a little while. Probably the person at the other hand will be doing some sort of instant messaging or Twittering or something, mm-hmm. giving the person back at the main studio a direct message saying, okay, you should pick this up in 5 minutes. They're going to start the public hearing part, okay. or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it sounds a lot more complicated than it is, and it's getting easier and easier to do every new technological innovation. So next year, it'll be easier.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to remember way back in Champaign-Urbana. I'm sure it's still going. There was a community radio station, and different people who wanted to participate would sign up for shifts, and they would be trained. Then they would do different things, like someone would present a music program, or someone would talk about politics, or
yeah.
this kind of thing.
That's the essence of community radio,
yes.
volunteer-driven, volunteer-run.
And I wondered if...
That is kind of the part of the system is when new people come and want to do a show, they're going to have to do, you know, some work to get to the point where they do a show. And some of that work will be going out and recording or web streaming some of these town meetings. So between some WGXC volunteers, between a couple local journalists, and between some of the busybodies that, you know, if you go to any town meeting, there's the three or four people that go to every meeting and are really involved. So we're hoping that we can, with that combination, you know, certainly we're not going to be able to cover every town meeting, because every night there's four town meetings or whatever, you know, throughout this area. But if, like Paul said, every night the town meetings don't know if we're coming or not, and they're preparing as if we are, because we often are there with microphones. That will kind of change the culture of the town meetings that now often happen completely in the dark, you know.
Another option, I don't have any radio background, but I used to work for a public access station, TV station in the city, and what they would do is they partnered with the college. This was Leland College. You could do it with the community college and offer students credit to pay them, and then you have a warm body to go in and record things and maybe edit it down if you want
to. We've already started to talk to the community college, and they have a studio over there that we're going to plug into one of our studios and
I was the news director.
Exactly,
there,
try to train. Yeah.
We had a few reporters, maybe four or five reporters, who would go out and actually be on screen, but all the technical work is done by students.
We're also going to work with a lot of high school students and in some of the high schools and do an after-school student show, but I imagine that some of the work that the better students create will be newsworthy for the evening news show, too, and the morning news show. So some of them might be trained and go out to some of the town meetings and record them, or the school musical or the school board meeting. Right.
And you get a warm body to run around with camera. So
everybody benefits then, yeah.
It also means that, like running a, you know, where possible, an online cache of all the different agendas for meetings coming up and meetings past, so that you can see, you know, keep track of what's going on, and hopefully that would then push those towns that don't have agendas.
Or don't have them until 5 minutes before the meeting.
Right, start having them.
What portions of Green in Columbia are you looking at? Because, like, you know, in terms of like four towns a night, that type of thing, are you talking all the way up to New Lebanon and down to Northeast?
We're
going
to try to cover in the entire Green and Columbia County with the news as much as possible. The radio signal does not cover the entire county. The mountains sort of block it out. It doesn't quite get to Windham. It almost gets to Windham. It gets up to Renzerville, gets up a little into Albany County to the 90 corridor,
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of goes down the Taconic, although we think it's actually going to probably get to almost the Massachusetts border. So
okay.
it's going to cover most of Columbia County, except the southern part. It only gets to about Germantown or Tivoli.
Will it reach Saugerties?
Probably not, but we're not sure.
Okay.
when we start actually flipping on switches, we'll know a lot more. And we are talking about sharing part of the afternoon newscast with Bard, which does cover Saugerties and which does cover almost all of Dutchess County. And
there's a similar effort coming, starting up in Roxbury as well.
That we're also talking to, partnering with, to the Roxbury's Due West. And we're also talking to Great Barrington in Massachusetts. It's about to go from low power to full power. And so a little bit we're creating perhaps a regional network so that we can share the larger issues about stories like about the Hudson River or about the whole entire Catskill region.
Well, in terms of the network, will the Roxbury thing be shielded by the mountains, or is it going to be further north towards Stanford where it might reach like Lexington and Prattsville and Ashland?
I think they're going to be based up like Grand Gorge,
okay.
Up the hill, yep. Up above that, so they can reach.
Yeah. I'm not positive. I think that's right.
That's an area of Greene County that needs public service radio. I mean, you've got, you know, RIP, which is a good commercial station.
Yes.
Right there. But in terms of your goal, in terms of you know, bringing government to the people through the radio.
We have actually talked with RIP some, and they are interested in debates. They said they would air debates if like it was the Wyndham debate or the you know, those towns out there that they cover. They would air those debates, so they're kind of interested in being a, you know, a commercial version of this a little bit. And they're great guys and interested in public service. Yeah.
Because Greene County needs radio public service coverage, and because in the mountains it's always been problematic.
Yeah. The good thing is that radio as we know it is kind of, I don't know if it will really exist in 5 years. You know, already on my iPhone I can listen to our web stream anytime, and you know, basically you're going to be able to listen to any radio station in the country or the world on your little devices in your car, anywhere.
It's the same thing about newspapers.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be a little leveling like that. The other thing we can offer to the Daily Mail and the Greenville, you know, the Green Local, is if we come up with some partnership way of working, it's, you know, we're not doing advertising on the station, but we're going to do underwriting like you hear on other stations, so it might be possible to that the Daily Mail or the Registrar or X paper underwrites one of the news shows or maybe a different kind of show. I don't know what our policy will be exactly on that. We'll probably have advertisements on the website, and that might be something that we give free to our partners and maybe in exchange. And we're going to have definitely lots of links. We already have lots of links to you guys on the news blog.
Tom, I need to go in order to make my meeting, but I just wanted to say that in terms of the hour-long news piece in the morning that you were talking about, that type of thing, if, say, for instance, you have a journalist in there discussing something, you know, say it's a column from the Daily Mail or whatever, then I don't know if you're anticipating top of the hour, you know, two-minute spots or anything, but that from that hour you call, you know,
exactly.
The actuality for, you know, and
yes.
Just so that the newspaper gets a plug on the hour every hour all day long.
About the event that's going on that night.
Gotta go.
All right.
Thanks, 7 o'clock meeting. Too.
Yes. So
myself.
Call you when you're finished.
Yeah.
We're going to be finished in a couple of minutes. So.
Well, Brenda's here till 8, so if you don't need me, she can close
just
up.
Just close up if she's here.
Yeah,
okay.
I have to go too.
All right.
Awesome.
Good to see you, Melanie.
Very
yes.
Interesting. Very interesting.
An extra
cue
for
four.
I have
to do something.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I passed
it
on
to her.
Oh, great, yeah. So we'll bring right afterwards, and we can do you bring the cabling
into practice?
Yeah.
So the cable should be also dump it on the computer, and then you can take us from there.
Yeah.
That would be most important for us if you don't have any radio.
Yeah. And that's a valid concern, and that's definitely something that the journalists were skeptical about. Well, we have no idea how to write a story for radio. We don't know how to work this audio equipment. That will all be skills training that somebody from the radio station will do, or will bring in. I mean,
I'll
think it's really
it
good.
Just
having audio editing skills
night,
are really,
ready,
and better recording techniques
yeah,
are really
either,
helpful.
We're going to leave at
the
same time.
Newspapers are putting audio, even video, in the New York Times and school multimedia.
Yeah, we keep trying to get
so one of us will return it to you Saturday night. So
yeah.
I can drop it in your mailbox or something on my way to
our projects.
Yeah.
All right. See you all. Nice to meet you.
It's just a matter of having the equipment and
having
the
coming
knowing.
Saturday and having
and also it takes time to sit down and edit
radio station.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of times time
so
that we don't
time
have.
Do
yeah.
As it is.
Whatever.
Well, and the good thing about audio and the audio editing
whatever
software,
you're
audio, there's
yeah.
so much
yeah,
free software like Audacity.
So
if you work
media here and
that,
there,
it's so easy
later.
To use. It's really simple, really easy program.
I think she's going to the stream.
So I think that the learning curve, I was surprised at how easily it transitioned in Crested Butte. I'm also surprised at how quickly the reporters got better.
I'm sure you worked with, at these weeklies, I'm sure you worked with journalists that had no radio
none,
background.
None did.
And how long did it take them to sort of adapt to the change?
Within 1 year, all of the reporters had were producing fully edited pieces. So it was a really quick transition. I think that the hardest part really wasn't the technical getting the stories in, getting them rewritten. Mm-hmm. It was delivery. I think that was the hardest part for some of the reporters
FTP?
To kind of... No, just finding their voice.
Yeah. Oh, that's
just
delivery.
Getting
yeah,
used
yeah.
to recording and
that's
listening.
Another thing, like...
listening to
who is the best voice for radio in Hudson Catskill newspapers?
Yeah, but you know what?
I don't think I am,
but if you listen to NPR, there are some crazy voices on there, and the only reason why you think that they're good radio voices is because you've heard them so much. But if you actually sit and think, like, is that a good radio voice?
Like Alan Chartok?
Right, yeah, I haven't really. But, I mean, I would recommend, I put some links on here to Radio News, and all these three stations do their magazine a little bit different, and they have news that you can click on online and listen to. I think for you as a reporter, it's good to just listen to what other people are doing.
Sure.
The KBUT broadcasts are usually 3 to 5 minutes. You can go back in the beginning of the KBUT archives if you want to really compare like when these reporters got started to what they're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a huge
cool.
difference, and it's really only in it's about 2 years old now, the partnership. I mean, marked difference in quality.
And the biggest thing for you, Colin, I think, or for if you want to take it back to Teresa, is then you put the context of the newspapers
oh.
of Colorado in there?
Yeah, this is a really good. So I let them know that you might be in touch with them and have questions. So they're all willing to talk to you. And that goes for the writers who went through the process and the publishers. The publishers or the managing editor, they produce some stories for radio too. So
your
that's
publisher
great.
May want to talk to their publisher
yeah, exactly.
and just and
yeah.
ask the questions that publishers, you know,
ask.
Yeah.
Gunnison Country Times is a little more involved. They're the ones that are starting to produce the more feature length pieces.
The Gunnison Country Times?
Yeah, the
okay.
first paper. Crested Butte News is definitely very involved. They were a little. Their papers are just a little bit different. Gunnison Country Times is a little more involved.
So the dynamic is different too, because they're weekly, right? And we're dailies here, so.
Yeah.
We have different stories every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least 5 days in print, 7 days online now.
That's quite different.
But,
so.
Yeah, so it would be, I think that in that capacity it would be more work, right, in producing these stories on a daily basis instead of just on a weekly basis.
Well, you know,
it doesn't mean necessarily that, like, all, what you guys run, like, 5 or 6 stories a day?
Yeah.
4 to 6?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe not all of them you necessarily have to produce an audio version of.
Sure.
You guys could sit and work it out earlier in the day, like what you think is the most important story to
Well, then you have, I mean, the Register Star also has 5 or 6
right.
a day.
I would
so you have,
recommend doing all the stories in your paper. Like, that is not the model I would even
because to combine, you know, if we're covering Green and Columbia, so we have to kind of provide a mix of coverage. Because a lot of people in Columbia County don't care about what goes on in Green County. So you have 4 papers in the Daily Mail and then 5 or 6 in the Register Star, or vice versa, that day. And then it's boiling it down to a few minutes of, you know, prioritizing the stories and also getting someone in there to produce them. That's sort of the practical part of it that I want to flesh out more, develop more, to try to, you know, determine whether this is really feasible for us or not.
But if somebody else was doing that coordination.
Right, if someone was helping us,
maybe
that would be great.
WJC has a part-time news person who is maybe sometimes creating original content, but more focused on coordinating the content from journalists out. That might be one of our models.
I've always thought it'd be interesting too, because I'm sure all your reporters and most reporters are constantly filtering a lot of news that has nothing to do with what they're writing as well. They're looking at national things, checking out different websites, and that could be a way of bringing the national state news into the mix, is by checking in, see what have you been looking at, what's striking you as of interest to the local.
And that's not just for daily newspaper reporters, but also for people that write blogs, or depending on their radio personality, you might find the right radio personality that can kind of do all those kind of things well. Yeah.
And then for you two that are interested in maybe doing a program that's not an investigative news story or produce piece, something on literature, education, I do have examples, if you give me your email addresses, of different kinds of programming. In WTIP, which is listed on here, they're the station in a small town in northern Minnesota. They have all sorts of, some of them are weekly, some of them are monthly. They're aired programs that repeat throughout the month, but they're all across the board. There's a history program, there is a literature review, and they're all pre-produced, and they all have an online component and a on-air component. So, I could email you with some suggestions for that, because I think we're excluding a little bit in this conversation.
The radio program I did was based around the premise that part of the green movement has to do with interacting with animals. We all want to be kind, but you know, when that woodchuck is eating all of your garden, those two. So I had a tremendous amount of luck. Some of it because of bad things going on, but I happened to be able to interview the world's foremost shark expert the year that we had the most shark attacks in America, and also the head veterinarian at Bobst Animal Clinic in New York City for 9/11. And they set up a total veterinary clinic at the site, and those dogs, I mean, it was, when this man, who's basically like a very highly paid expert bureaucrat, you know, was crying about how these dogs work so hard. It was very moving. There was a lot of human interest in that. But my program was about interacting with animals, and I'm not really a PETA person, so I do respect that, and I would, but I tried to give that, in living out here, you know, that's like with bears breaking into houses, green cat all over the place, and that's what I did with my radio program. So I'm not saying I have to do that again, but I think that probably it was true in Colorado too, but that's part of living in an area like this that makes it different than living in suburban New Jersey or Manhattan or...
Yeah.
But it's also all those mixes of different columns, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
The news can come up in all these different ways, and it becomes a full vision of the community.
Well, that's what I was going to... I just noted here the columnists that we have. We have a lot of new columnists writing for both papers. Is there a way that they could be part of this?
Some of them
or
contact us,
have you reached out to
we've
them?
Talked to... Okay. Dick Nelson contacted us recently, and we've talked to Dick Brooks.
Robert Titus, he does the geology column.
He's on my list to talk to at some point.
Is
Bob still doing
it? Bifus doesn't write for us anymore. He does. He still submits gardening column.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so we talked to him a little bit a long time ago. I haven't talked to him recently, so I know he
doesn't work for the cooperative
extension
anymore. Yeah.
There's a world famous arborist right in New Paltz, and there really are so many wonderful people around here. We have no trouble, I don't think, like almost anything. It's,
the arboretum up on the mountaintop has been the the leading force in the reintroduction of American chestnut.
Yep.
Yeah, so to answer your questions, yes, the columnists and anybody that's sorting information at all, we're interested in working with.
Okay. So you have, as far as the training aspect of it, I'm most interested in that and how to get our reporters and editors on board and try to make it easy for them to do this so it doesn't feel like a burden. Like, it, try to make it fun for them instead of it being just, oh, now I've got to go do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, if we were to do Aaron's plan, we have to get our board to sign off of it as well as your board and everybody else is involved for. And we have to come up with funding. We want to fund we want to fund news coverage for the radio station somehow. So we're looking for funding. And what Aaron found in Colorado was the best way was instead of underfunding one reporter, they helped, fund a lot of reporters a little bit, increase. So we may try that. So once we figure out those details, then we can work on the specifics that kind of you're asking about.
Sure. Yeah.
But in that scenario, we certainly would provide audio training on how to make recordings, how to
construct a good compelling story.
What's the difference between audio recording and text recording? Like you were saying before, and it's two different stories. Like, you can't get those kind of lists of who voted. If there's 20 people that voted at a council meeting, it might be hard to list everyone that voted yes or no.
Or just a quoted text. You don't say what the person said and then pause and say, said Congresswoman. You would say, Congresswoman blah 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 says. It's just
it's
basic.
A different format.
Just, yeah.
Would it make sense to this autumn or this winter to start a number of workshops here in Hudson and start doing kind of practice runs up on the website?
Dharma is kind of coordinating with the community college. It's setting up workshops at the community college that hopefully are going to start in January, the second semester. She's working on now, and it's too late to really get them all up for the fall schedule. So she's going to work on a number, not all of them are journalism-based, but they're in this realm. So that's in the works.
I do think for journalists, it should be going to the newspapers and having very specific, because I know that you guys have so little time. You get the paper out every day.
Yeah,
you're busy.
Everybody has different equipment setups and different phone setups and all those things. So besides the audio training we talked about, we'd also train to edit audio with probably Audacity, a free software, FTPing if people aren't comfortable, or we could use Sendit or all those sensor where you can send files. So the whole process, we have people that we can train anybody to do all these things. And the good thing is that they're all getting simpler and simpler to do as the software and the technology improves.
I mean, wouldn't they have, but at the same time, since it is as this is going on, since it is breaking down separate ethically, that would there be a style book or a way of approach?
I think that's a great idea, to have an audio style book.
Isn't there, there's a radio school, radio TV school in Albany.
There is, yes. And a couple students that have gone there, that live in the area, have approached us about being involved. So we may be working with them, or we may even be able to work out some deal where we go on a field trip with 10 reporters and spend a day there figuring things out.
Because they must have a style.
That may be, and we are connected with a lot of national radio organizations, so I can go up online and ask, like the NFCB listserv, and somebody's going to send me an audio style book. Style books are, like for text journalists, everybody follows like the AP style book.
Oh, right. There is, I know of a couple of things, one that NPR produces, that we might be able to get, a couple of two-for-one copies.
Lisa Phillips teaches that.
did his audio or radio?
Radio. She did that inside NPR.
That'll be something that we can research.
WMNF now has their volunteer training manual for producing audio stories.
So it'll be similar to that.
I think they created it themselves, but I'm sure they had a model to work on.
Yeah, I should probably get Mara to share that with us. Yeah.
But then also kind of figuring out a way of, you know, what's the voice of this lady wants? Should we be more?
To some extent, you know, we're going to have to wait until we go on the air to figure it out, like what plays well on the radio, what plays well in this area. To me, I don't want to say I know what the answer is yet, you know what I mean? Like,
you'll be really surprised, I think, what goes over well and what doesn't. You just don't know.
And also, I think everyone's going to have their own particular style when it comes to producing.
And I like that there will be many different kind of flavors of news reporting.
There's a lot of different ways to
Jane, I think that's what you were talking about, really, wasn't it? That getting people to come forward with programs,
right.
Without,
that they, there might be a lot of individual ideas that we don't even know about.
Yeah,
I really feel like that's what keeps people loyal to community radio, and why KBUT had so much loyalty was just the broad range of voices that were on the air and programming.
That's exciting.
All right, well, I should probably get going, too. But I'll leave this with you guys or whoever.
Yeah, leave that with Tom.
This is the revised sort of proposal that
we definitely want to get your email addresses. Maybe Paul has it, but I don't know, or Aaron doesn't know.
And show
Teresa or...
I will. No, definitely. That's great.
Colin.
Agreed. Oh, you got dinner, man.
Oh, yeah, yep. I was just talking about how I met Milo.
I'm going to be working back.
Well, that would be great if we could do a training session sometime, though. Do you guys have, like, a studio already, like, established?
Yeah,
or anything,
unfortunately.
Or?
Not quite yet. The Hudson Studio is being worked out
limited,
soon.
Still working
with the front of this room is going to be one of the studios, but it's going to be more of a temporary... move things in and out so they can still have an art gallery or two.
Or just, it would be cool to see all the equipment that people will be working with and producing these shows, just so people get an idea of what it takes.
For going around, you basically would, need something like this or even like your cell phone to record more and more of the cell phones or the iPhones or whatever have all kinds of audio recording things.
Sure.
And then
you
just be taking that back to the office, hooking it up to a computer and editing it on your computer.
Well, I do use one.
They have lots
now.
Of extra
I use a little Sony voice recorder that has a USB connection.
So that's it. Basically the same thing, that's a little fancier.
It's kind of nice, I actually prefer Echoes.
Right,
yeah.
Version.
But,
and you
but
just put
in the
it into your computer
a little...
and
do you have any spider issues?
Audacity is a free editing program. We'll train you on that.
Oh, really?
And so you can cut things around.
They're doing double duty
because
the ads are gone.
So when it launches to the FM, essentially you'll be using the same type of equipment.
Did it hurt?
Well, a lot more and a lot... some of it will be better, some of it will be more mobile and... As it's,
there are
some of
the
smaller probably by then too.
And when was the launch again?
Next summer,
so June or July.
White
it mainly depends.
Disease.
We're finding out about the
it's really serious, and they think it's because
we're on that track
the bacteria
next summer. If we don't get that, then
in
it's going to be
slightly
slower.
Warmer temperatures,
right.
Which we've had in the case.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, let us.
At
I just
one
gave
time,
you my card, right?
Yeah.
So,
it was like a
yeah, just let me know
thing that when Twilight
about a training session, maybe.
Out,
you know,
okay,
maybe
you
could do like a staff.
I'll give you a card.
I think I have one, but I'll take another one, sure. Yeah.
That's been
okay.
Within
oh, this
the
has
last,
new, logo,
I'd right. Say,
yeah.
18
cool.
Months.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you guys
very
you were
few.
Here.
Very few. I mean, it's pretty serious. They're hoping that maybe it's cyclical. No, they're hoping they just don't know a lot about it.
All right, well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
So they're hoping
care,
it's going to.
They're
hoping this will work through.
Wow.
You know, but
you saw that today.
A lot of thoughts.
Right. It was quite a meeting last night.
And they need buzz. Right.
When we got out of the car last night, it was kind of good toilet. There were dragonflies.
Like we're
calling
each other like
fifth grade
games.
There must have been like 30 of them.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
Yeah, they're little scary, but they're beautiful.
Yeah, they eat them. I was assuming they were eating
the scary. I have no idea, basically. Yeah, they
so that's
it's not like so we have a there and it was like, you know.
Yeah, well, Dan and Tom have the wave farm, which is out in Acre. So what's